You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon here on Radio Maria Canada. You're listening to The Father's Quilt, and I'm your host, Christina Doyle. I hope you're enjoying your summer holidays, your beautiful weather. You know, we, as Canadians, we're often complaining about how cold it is and when spring coming, and here we are in the most beautiful time of the year, of course, summer. And I hope that you and your family are doing well, and that your struggles are being met through prayer, and I pray that God's healing be upon you through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. And with that in mind, let's say a Hail Mary together, shall we? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. My friends, last broadcast I shared a whole bunch of stories, little short stories, but always in conjunction with Scripture. And so I thought I would do one more, just like that, of stories, short stories, and of tying it into Scripture. And I hope that there may be a story or two or three that resonate with you. So with that in mind, you can, if you have pen and paper, that would be very handy, because it'll help you dive into God's Word, in which is the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, first 4 or 5 verses, depending on the Bible, right? Your Bible. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, giving out of love. Every day, Glenn purchases his morning coffee at a nearby drive-thru. And every day, he also pays for the order of the person in the car behind him, asking the cashier to wish that person a good day. Glenn has no connection to them. He's not aware of their reactions. He simply believes this small gesture is the least he can do. On one occasion, however, he learned of the impact of his actions when he read an anonymous letter to the editor of his local newspaper. He discovered that the kindness of his gift on July 18, 2017, caused the person in the car behind him to reconsider their plans to take their own life later that day. Glenn gives daily to the people in the car behind him without receiving credit for it. Only on this single occasion did he get a glimpse of the impact of his small gift. When Jesus says we should not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing, he's urging us to give, as Glenn does, without need for recognition. When we give out of our love for God, without concern for receiving the praise of others, we can trust that our gifts, large or small, will be used by him to help meet the needs of those receiving them. I hope you enjoyed that one. That was a precious one, wasn't it? The next one is Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. spotting rainbows of hope. During an October vacation, another battle with chronic pain forced me to spend the first few days recovering in our room. My mood became as overcast as the sky. When I finally ventured out to enjoy sightseeing at a nearby lighthouse with my husband, gray clouds blocked much of our view. Still, I snapped a few photos of the shadowy mountains and dull horizon. Later, disappointed because a downpour tucked us in for the night, I skimmed through our digital pictures. Gasping, I handed my husband the camera. A rainbow! Focused on the gloominess earlier, I missed out on God's refreshing my weary spirit with the unexpected glimpse of hope. Physical or emotional suffering, I know it can often drag us down into the depths of despair. Desperate for refreshment, we thirst for reminders of God's constant presence and infinite power. As we recall the countless times God has come through for us and for others in the past, we can trust that our hope is secured in Him, no matter how downcast we feel in the moment. When bad attitudes or difficult circumstances dim our vision, God invites us to call on Him, read the Bible, and trust His faithfulness. As we seek God, we can rely on Him to help us spot rainbows of hope arched over the darkest days. So our attitude really is important, brothers and sisters. And remember, it's not that God is punishing us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And being confident in God. A 2018 study of adults in the United Kingdom found that, on average, they check their smartphones every 12 minutes of the waking day. But let's be honest, this statistic seems extremely conservative when I consider how frequently I search Google to find the answer to a question or respond to endless alerts that come to my phone throughout the day. Many of us consistently look to our devices, confident they'll provide what we need to keep us organized, informed, and connected. As believers in Jesus, we have a resource infinitely better than a smartphone. God loves and cares for us intimately and desires for us to come to Him with our needs. The Bible says that when we pray, we can be confident that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. By reading the Bible and storing God's words in our hearts, we can pray assuredly for things that we know He already desires for us, including peace and wisdom and faith, that He'll provide what we need. Sometimes it may seem that God doesn't hear us when our situation doesn't seem to change. But we build our confidence in God by consistently turning to Him for help in every circumstance. And this allows us to grow in faith, trusting that although we may not get everything we desire, He's promised to provide what we need in His perfect timing. It isn't easy, but we must, and I'm telling myself that too, you must trust God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the first 10 verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, first 10 verses. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. Generosity and joy. Researchers tell us there's a link between generosity and joy. Those who give their money and time to others are happier than those who don't. This has led one psychologist to conclude, let's stop thinking about giving as a moral obligation and start thinking of it as a source of pleasure. Well, while giving can make us happy, I question whether happiness should be the goal. If we're only generous to people or causes that make us feel good, what about the more difficult or mundane needs requiring our support? Scripture links generosity with joy too, but on a different basis. After giving his own wealth toward building the temple, King David invited the Israelites to also donate. The people responded generously, giving gold, silver, and precious stones joyously. But notice what their joy was over. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. Scripture never tells us to give because it will make us happy, but to give willingly and wholeheartedly to meet a need. Joy often follows. As missionaries know, it can be easier to raise funds for evangelism than for administration, because believers in Jesus like the feeling of funding frontline work. Let's be generous toward other needs as well. After all, Jesus freely gave himself to meet our needs as well. Well, my friends, are you writing them all down? All right, Mark chapter 5, probably 10 to 20. Mark chapter 5, verses 10 to probably maybe 20, 21. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. There is no place like home. There is no place like home. Those unforgettable lines spoken by Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz reveal a storytelling device found in an overwhelming number of our most enduring stories, from the likes of Star Wars to The Lion King. It's known as the hero's journey. In brief, an ordinary person is living an ordinary life when an extraordinary adventure is presented. The character leaves home and travels to a different world where tests and trials await, as well as mentors and villains. If he or she passes the tests and proves heroic, then the final stage is returning home with stories to tell and wisdom gained. The last piece is crucial. The story of the demon-possessed man closely parallels the hero's journey. It's interesting that in the last scene, the man begged Jesus to let him go with him. Yet Jesus told him, "Go home to your own people." It was important in this man's journey to return home to the people who knew him best and to tell them his amazing story. God calls each of us, my friends, in different ways and to different scenarios. But for some of us, it can be crucial for our faith. Crucial for our faith journey to go home and tell our story to those who know us best. For some of us, the call is, there's no place like home. And I just think of my own story of surviving a life-threatening illness. So, I already did that before. It's Romans chapter 13, verses 7 to 15. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Billy, a loving and loyal dog, became an internet star in 2020. His owner, Russell, had broken his ankle and was using crutches to walk. Soon the dog also began to hobble when walking with his owner. Concerned, Russell took Billy to the vet, who said there was nothing wrong with him. He ran freely when he was by himself. It turned out that the dog faked a limp when he walked with his owner. That's what you call trying to truly identify with someone's pain. Coming alongside others is forefront in the Apostle Paul's instructions to the church in Rome. He summoned up the last five of the Ten Commandments in this way: love your neighbor as yourself. We can see the importance of walking with others. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Author Jenny Albers advises, when someone is broken, don't try to fix them. You can't. When someone is hurting, don't attempt to take away their pain. You can't. Instead, love them by walking beside them in the hurt. You can. Because sometimes what people need is simply to know they aren't alone. Because Jesus, our Savior, walks alongside of us through all our hurt and pain, we know what it means to walk with others. What a beautiful lesson to learn, brothers and sisters, right? What a beautiful lesson. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verses 10 to 24. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along those with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Twice this summer, I suffered the scourge of poison ivy. Both times it happened, I was working on clearing away unwanted plant growth from our yard, and both times I saw the nasty three-leafed enemy lurking nearby. I figured I could get close to it without affecting me. Soon enough, I realized I'd been wrong. Instead of getting nearer to my little green nemesis, I should have run the other way. In the Old Testament story of Joseph, we see modeled the principle of running from something worse than poison ivy, sin. When he was living in the home of Egyptian official Potiphar, whose wife tried to seduce him, Joseph didn't try to get close. He ran, although she falsely accused him and had him thrown in prison. Joseph remained pure throughout the episode, and as we see in Genesis 39, the Lord was with him. God can help us flee activities and situations that could lead us away from him, guiding us to run the other way when sin is nearby. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 or 22 or 23, Paul writes, flee the evil desires. And in 1 Corinthians 6, he says to flee from sexual immorality. In God's strength, may we choose to run from those things that could harm us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, 20 to 26. This is from a lady named Patricia. The magazine I was writing for felt important. She's saying. So I struggled to present the best possible article I could for the high-ranking editor. Feeling pressure to meet her standards, I kept rewriting my thoughts and ideas. But what was my problem? Was it my challenging topic, or was my real worry personal? Would the editor approve of me and not just my words? For answers to our job worries, Paul gives trustworthy instructions in a letter to the Colossian church. Paul urged believers to work not for approval of people, but for God. As the apostle said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Reflecting on Paul's wisdom, we can stop struggling to look good in the eyes of our earthly bosses. That's not an easy thing, is it, brothers and sisters? Those of you who are still working, you know, I've had enough trouble. I had trouble with this one. I always wanted to be the fastest in terms of handing in my report cards, being efficient, doing 100% effort in everything I did.
part of it, I know it was the approval of my earthly boss. For certain, we honor them as people and seek them to give them our best. But if we work as for the Lord, asking Him to lead and anoint our work for Him, He'll shine a light on our efforts. Our reward, our job pressures ease and our assignments are completed. Even more, we'll one day hear Him say, "Well done, my good and perfect servant." You know? It's not easy. You know, I know that we all have trouble with that one. I know I did. I had a hard time realizing that it's okay. You don't have to be this person, you know, the best of the best. That's very self-driven. I was, and to be honest, I'm sure of it at those days in the early years of my career as a teacher. I don't think my faith was all that strong at all. I did pray. This is all I do remember. I remember praying, going to church, praying, going to school, praying before a meeting, thanking God after a meeting, praying and thanking our Lord after the day was done, every day. And I'd pray for my children. But that was the extent of my prayer. That was the extent of my faith. I don't recall really opening up the Bible. I don't recall praying the rosary in those early years, I must admit. No greater love. John chapter 15, verses 8 to 18. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Commemorations of the 75th anniversary of D-Day in 2019 honored the more than 156,000 troops who took part in the largest seaborne invasion in history to liberate Western Europe. In his prayer broadcast over the radio on June 6, 1944, President Roosevelt asked for God's protection, praying, "They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate." A willingness to put oneself in harm's way, to restrain evil and liberate the oppressed, brings to mind Jesus' words, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." These words come in the midst of Christ's teaching His followers to love each other. But He wanted them to understand the cost and the depth of this type of love, a love exemplified when one willingly sacrifices his or her life for another person. Jesus' call to sacrificially love others is the basis of His command to love each other. Perhaps we could show sacrificial love by giving time to care for the needs of an aging family member. We could put the needs of a sibling first by doing their chores during a stressful week at school. We might even take extra shifts with a sick child to allow our spouse to sleep. As we sacrificially love others, we demonstrate the greatest expression of love. And the final one, my friends, the final one. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 3 to 11. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 3 to 11. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Watching out for one another by a lady named Wynne. It's Josie. Josie, a 77-year-old substitute teacher. Wow. I guess there's still hope for me yet. Josie, a 77-year-old substitute teacher, I didn't think they had them anymore, had been living out of his car, Jose had been living out of his car for 8 years. Oh dear. Every night, the elderly man bunked down in his 1997 Ford Thunderbird LX, carefully monitoring the car battery as it powered his computer for his evening's work. Instead of using the money earmarked for rent, Jose sent it to numerous family members in Mexico who needed it more. Early every morning, one of the teacher's former students saw Jose rummaging through his trunk. "I just felt I needed to do something about it," the man said. So he launched a fundraiser and weeks later handed Jose a check to help him pay for a place to live. Though scripture repeatedly instructs us to watch out for one another, it's sometimes difficult to see past our own concerns. The prophet Zechariah rebuked Israel who, rather than worshiping God or serving others, were feasting for themselves, ignoring their shared communal life. They disregarded their neighbor's need. Zechariah made God's instructions clear. The people were to administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another, and not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. While it's easy to be consumed with our own needs, and that is easy, I said, faithfulness calls us to tend the needs of others. In the divine economy, there's plenty for all, and God, in His mercy, chooses to use us to give some of that plenty to others. When you think, brothers and sisters, how much food, they were just saying, wasn't too long ago, a few months ago, about the amount of food that is thrown in the garbage by households. And it's not rotten food, just, you know, people didn't finish their plate or whatever, and it's thrown out. So much food is thrown out in this country, in the Western world, compared to people around the world who are truly suffering. And they are suffering here too. We can't underestimate that. There are many families who had to make a decision. Do we pay for rent, or do we pay for the food on the table? Or do I skip dinner and give to the children and I go hungry? Those are very difficult questions and decisions people are making today. You know, brothers and sisters, if you are in a position that you are able to give, whether it's through Share Life, whether it's through the food bank in your city, in your town, whether it's volunteering your time, if you have time to volunteer, find where there's a need. And if you can, give some of your time. Because our Lord wants us to look after one another. We are all connected in this world more than we can ever imagine, especially when we've had COVID. We've learned to check up on families, on neighbors, on making sure that everyone is well. So, brothers and sisters, that concludes this broadcast, and I sincerely hope you've enjoyed the many stories that I've had to share with you in these last two broadcasts. Thanks again for joining me, and I wish you well, and may God richly bless each and every one of you. God bless you all, and thank you so much for being with me this afternoon. Bye for now.
I've got no